Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into the final leading off of the 2022 season. I am one of the hosts, Chris Welsh, joined by the great and powerful Joe Pizzapia. By God, he's here, Joe Pizzapia. Hey, yo.
Hey, yo, what's going on, Welsh? I know, it's the last day of baseball season. I always like to come on the last day and say hello to those people who are still listening for the baseball show. I see my cousin still here. And yes, that is a football guy. I have not watched much baseball in the last 30 days. I'm not going to lie. But I think Aaron Judge has hit a lot of homers. And yet I still don't think I'm anywhere near winning that contest somehow. I don't know how that happened.
Well, had you picked Aaron Judge in perpetuity from the start of the season, you would be winning this contest.
It's true.
But you picked it a couple months ago. You know, it was funny. Donnie and I, if people don't know, cousin Donnie, Donnie lives actually right near me out here in Arizona. And we all got to hang out and we were trying to, we were trying to coordinate something. We were going to even do a call today. I got so busy yesterday. I forgot to talk to Donnie, but he was getting to the point where Donnie was going to come to my house and then just appear in the background. You're going to just do that for this.
You know, if you give him your address, he might do that anyway. Just random.
I know. But you know. I got like a sick kid or two, so I don't want to bring anybody into my house like that, if you know what's going on. But we were going to do a whole thing with that and like cousin Donnie show up. But it's been a good season. You have been missed, my friend. I've been trying to hold down the fort as the substitute teacher, but it is good to see your face. Me personally, it's good to do a podcast with you. It's been quite a bit. We haven't got to do any football and it's been baseball in a bit. So it's good to see that beautiful bald head, that beautiful smile that Joe Pizzapia resonates. And it's good to have the crew back together, which, if you know, you think about it, Joe, you and I in day one so far this year, which was a new turn for us.
That's right. And I'm another year older now, too, since I last saw you. So that's happened as well. I'm wearing my leading off shirt as well. I'm representing the brand today, hanging out. I will say this. I have been sort of, you know, quietly following what's going on. The Aaron Judge stuff is amazing. And I think that the Yankees are going to be so upset that they didn't try to get that contract done earlier because he's 31 years old. Well, he's 31 years old. And if he wins a triple crown, how do you not overpay this man? Like, how do you sell that to the fan base at this point? You can't. So they're going to end up giving Aaron Judge a bad contract because they were trying to cheap out on the front end. And I'm enjoying that I'm enjoying. I'm enjoying all the Justin Verlander shares that I did not cash out of and I stayed true. No matter how tempting it was at times, I predicted the demise of Shane McClanahan when last I saw you. So we're on pace with that. And my Mets are still relevant. So go figure. They're still in the hunt.
Yeah, things are working out in that respect.
And Alvarez got called up today. Did you see that?
We're going to talk about that. Yeah, Francisco Alvarez. It's crazy. It's actually like a really crazy time, but it is good to have you on here. So, like the theme, though, this is where if the world wanted to perfectly set you and I up, this would have happened. So last night, I'm doing my stuff, and as a little thing, I don't know if people know, they saw, not that it's a huge, crazy thing, but I'm going to be doing some content with CBS Fantasy Baseball, a little plug there, and I was kind of prepping for that, and I'm sitting there, and I'm watching, and I noticed Shohei Ohtani has a no-hitter going through the seventh, and I go, oh my God, Joe Pizzapia is coming back on the show tomorrow, and if there is one thing, if there was a theme to this year, it would have been the constant, maybe nauseating conversation around Ohtani versus Judge MVP. All I wanted in the world was for Ohtani to throw a no-hitter, you and I to come on here, and then we get to burn it all down. We get to burn the whole ship down. Unfortunately, we don't get to. Ohtani, still with an incredible performance. I was watching some of it. He looked gassed. And we got a note here. Matt Birch, this is a tweet. Ohtani now 15 wins with a 2.35 ERA, almost 12 K per nine in 27 pitching starts this year. The only players all time to post those numbers or better in a season, Pedro Martinez and Randy Johnson. I would like to point out that is just one of his personalities. That is the pitching personality. The hitter personality is still there. I was also doing a early mock draft, 2023, early mock draft. And Bogman and I, in our final in this league baseball episode for like a month, we were looking at values and looking at Yahoo system. Ohtani is a top 35 player both parts of him. Because as you know, in Stupid Yahoo, he's two different Yahoo players, which is the dumbest thing on the planet. I hate it to this day. But literally both versions of him are top 35 players. Yet, you know, Judge is still going to run away with it, Joe.
Yeah, he is. And the interesting thing is he's actually a lot closer than people realize to Verlander in a lot of ways. Both 27 starts for them. 161 innings for Ohtani, 170 for Verlander. Ohtani's got more strikeouts, but the whip is lower for Verlander, 0.85, which is ridiculous. It's under one. And the ERA for Verlander is under two, which is 1.8. So it's, I feel like he's going to get shut out of both awards. And I think you could have made a case that, you know, he could have won both. You know, it's, and we've seen that happen before where like Verlander, Roger Clemens, guys who have won the Cy Young at MVP in the same season, but it's a pitcher doing it. The fact that, you know, you have somebody who could legitimately do both, but Aaron Judge is just having that special season. And it's funny because last year Vlad had a season that was not historic, but on Triple Crown pace there for a while. And we all said, it doesn't matter if he wins a Triple Crown. I think it's the 61 home runs. It's because he's a Yankee. That's why it's taken off to what it has. But I keep going back to the same thing too, which is, you know, if you are the Angels, you are not going to win next year. It's not happening. Your team is terrible outside of Mike Trout, who hardly ever plays, and Shohei Ohtani, who's amazing. This is your chip to move to remake this organization. And if they don't do it in the offseason, I think it's a huge mistake. And I know it's a PR nightmare, but so is losing. And I don't know how many years you can have a team that doesn't make the playoffs like they do with a salary cap or salary, I should say, as high payroll as high as they do.
You know, and the funny thing is it could go both ways. Like, can they even trade him now after this season? It looks even tougher, but it would have been even more impossible if he were to win the MVP. How can you trade the MVP two straight years? So you could maybe get out from under it. One of the interesting things, so I went to go take a look and see, you know, what was out there. I don't even know what was still out there at DraftKings to look at the awards. That was our thing we did for so long. It's nostalgic. Oh, we get to go and look back at the, oh, well, it's gone. They're all gone. But they're all gone. Still one bet that is out there, and it is fascinating. If you want to get down and dirty for the next, what is it, 5 days of baseball, 6 days of baseball, I want to get down and dirty, you have this bet available for you, and the juice is interesting. It is Aaron, and I want to get your take on this, Aaron Judge to win the Triple Crown, minus 115 on both sides, yes or no. So check this out. Home run, in the bag. RBI, in the bag. He is 0.02 batting average points behind Luis Arraez right now. He has a .313 batting average. Luis Arraez has a .315 batting average. He has to make that up in this time. Would you? What side would you bet? Because you can.
Who do they have left here, schedule wise, or the last remaining games for the Yankees? That has something to do with it too. Because if those teams have quit and those teams are throwing out, you know, jabroni pitchers, it makes me like the Judge prop. I think it's interesting you're getting minus 115. I wouldn't have thought it was that much. I thought it was like minus 105 or something.
See, really? I actually thought they might like play the no to like minus 140 and the yes to like minus 105. They might play, but they're literally just hedging on it right there. So they've got the Orioles and the Rangers to finish out the year. And you know, no foot is being taken off the gas with Judge going for number 62 and continuously trying to run this out. So that's what you've got for the Yankees moving forward. Six games left.
And they're in Yankee Stadium or no, they're on the road. Okay.
So that's a key marker here. They are the next three against Baltimore. It is, but they finish out the year a four game stretch in Texas. And the Twins
is kind of a neutral park.
Like he just said,
you know, I think Vegas is telling you they feel pretty confident that he's going to get it. Cause I would have thought, you know, this would have been a different number personally. So
but it's both sides are 115 though. Like, you think that's confidence to get it?
The yes, again, everything, you know, I think for this is one of those, everything has to break right. Our batting average is so fluky, you know, in terms of like hits, you know, the fact that it's not a bigger number for the yes with the juice, like it was like minus 130 or something like that. It wasn't, you know, something where they were enticing you more. I think that, yeah, I kind of think that I would go towards the yes side of this one, actually.
Yeah, well, see, but that's kind of the thing is I also think like, who in God's name is going on there and betting no? So I think that's where they could have played to the juice more.
Everyone who hates the Yankees.
Well, yeah, but I mean, if you hate the Yankees, do you really hate Judge that much? Do you hate that he can't get a Triple Crown? It's the only thing you can bet.
I think you do. I think you still do. Okay, well, ask the where's the Cardinal fans in here? Where's wearing Wonky Penguin in here? What does she think about this?
That's a good I'm curious in the chat. Who's making or what side of this bet are you making? He gets it or he doesn't. He is 0.02 batting average points behind Luis Arraez. Let me see if there's anybody else that's close here. Xander Bogaerts has a 309. So yeah, this is a one, this is a two dog race here because Xander Bogaerts is 0.04 batting average points behind. Abreu is not going to do it. So qualified, that is it. Luis Arraez versus Aaron Judge, 0.02 batting average between the yes or no and whatever side gets it. I think it's a fascinating bet right now because we can't do our MVP bet because
you know what's you know what also I hope that you know I know we talked a lot of fantasy, we did talk a lot of wagering this year too. I want people to feel more comfortable making baseball wagers because I think that you know fantasy is a very long drawn out thing. You don't get as much action on it. I think if you were smart this year and you didn't even have to make very big wagers on things, that you could have come out really positively. I'm going to throw some of, and this is straight from Sportsbook on my bets. Julio Rodriguez, $15, right? I'm going to win $97.50 on that $15 investment, beautiful, right? Okay. Paul Goldschmidt, a $10 investment, going to win $52 on that, right? Hunter Green, I'm going to take a bath on. I was very aggressive. I'm going to lose it, but that's gone. That's done. Justin Verlander, $10 to win 260. And that was at the plus 2,500. They had a plus 1,300. I put another $10 in there, plus 140. So now I got $140 in. And then another one, $50, where I tripled down at plus 700, $400. So a combined, let's see, $70 on Justin Verlander is going to net me almost 500. Actually, no, I'm 1,000. What am I saying? Almost $1,000. Mm. You can do this, everybody. This is not hard. You don't have to have a lot of money to make betting on baseball work for you. You have to pay attention to it like the stock market. You have to cash out when you can. And you're going to lose some money here and there. You're going to make some money here and there. But the trick is, can you get some of the big things right? I think I have Judge as well. Sandy Alcantara, $10, going to win 90 on that. $15, going to win $82.50 on that. And that's it for the baseball bets there. So look, I want people to stop with this nonsense of like, well, I don't have enough money to wager. It's a hard thing. Well, it's not. Just follow along with us. When we say we're doing it, do it along with us. $5, $10. Again, a $70 investment is now going to become $1,000, right? I bet that is more than most people win in all their fantasy all year round from playing fantasy baseball, right?
Well, see, season-long bets are almost, think of it like best ball at this point, because what it is your investment is something that you're just tracking from a fund perspective to be cashed out at the end of the year. There you go, Donnie. That's right, Joey. Drinks are on you. So for sure, on that side, I'd also say that the NC, like, there's steps. You know, the long award season stuff is fun to bet, but you also can find your niche. You know, I think the exposing of like the betting the first five is been a lot better than just betting like run lines total. Right. The prop market has been fun. I think we found out strikeouts are probably the
first
most
five when you have those big pitchers on the mound too. You know, like how are those first five innings? You know, there's ways to do it. And I'm not somebody like, you know, I'm actually not a betting person. Like I've been to Las Vegas twice. One, the first time I was there, I never played a single thing. I know people are like, what are you crazy? Like, I just didn't care. Like, I don't care. It's not my thing. But if you know baseball and you like baseball, there's ways to turn that into something that is a car payment or, you know, a nice weekend with your kids somewhere or a nice weekend away from your kids.
Just betting interest to have different fun. By the way, side note, the first time I went to Vegas, this is a completely true story. First time I ever went to Vegas when I was old enough, we stayed at New York. We were with a friend. The girls were up in the hotel. Me and my friend walked down, go to a roulette table. Mm-hmm. I go put it on. My birthday is 22, so I put it on black 22. $20, black 22, hit black 22. You've never seen like a dealer, like the guy through. Like, he was so annoyed because it was like, he's like, you guys just get. I'm like, just got here. Blah blah blah. Black 22, very first time I ever played roulette in my life, doing anything. Why would you pick the full-on number, only put one bet down? Yeah, Vegas. So sometimes you can also hit that with baseball. But
and look,
there's a lot out there for you.
Think about early on, too, when we were doing some of those shows together, we talked about like the win total of the Mariners this year was 82.5, right? Okay. And we said, that's too low. They were in a 500 team last year. Look how much better they got year over year. And they're going to have Julio this year. There's things that you can do. And there's ways you can look at it where you take all this fantasy baseball knowledge and while you're playing fantasy baseball, use it to make some more immediate and long-term money because it can be done. And I think that was the one thing I'm most proud in the last 2 years that we've done on this show, was we've taken the fantasy stuff, we've wrapped it into the gambling stuff, and we've made it kind of one thing where people can go out there and be successful with it. That's what I want people to do. I want people to have some action and enjoy what's going on and take all this knowledge. You're pouring over these stats, you're pouring over these trends, you know all these things. Make some investments in them. Pay attention to what's going on there, because it's literally you're leaving money on the table, and you don't have to have thousands of extra dollars to end up making thousands of dollars. I've literally probably made a couple hundred dollars of investments, and I'm going to walk away this year, just like last year with Bryce Harper and Otani, a couple thousand dollars. And that is huge. And it's something that I want everybody to feel more empowered about next season too.
Yeah. And, you know, lastly, one of the things I've kind of harped on it a couple times was taking the awesome home run contest, which we're going to talk about at the end, take the home run contest. And I've parlayed, I say loosely, I would use a home run contest into betting total base props, you know, mm-hmm. because like if you, when you do your work and you find your,
absolutely, it's a great point,
home run, I don't bet the home run like some people would do. I go bet the total base to get two total bases. So if you just miss it, you can't tell you how many times I got a guy in a homer and he would hit a double. So I agree with you full through, something we could be talking about all off season, different ways to attack betting if you're new to it or you want to get into it or whatever. But it was fun. It was fun translating. And you said it best. You can translate fantasy info into betting, and you don't have to go crazy or anything like that. All right, let's blow through some of this stuff, Joe. You mentioned one of probably the biggest pieces here that we could hit on. For whatever reason, we're 6 days before the season is going to end, and the Mets are like, now it's time. Francisco Alvarez officially the call. I know, he's coming up. He's eligible for the playoffs because he was on the 40-man roster before we turned into September. He's going to come up. They said he's going to hit against lefties, which we were just talking about this last night, that there's only one lefty in the lineup scheduled coming up, and it's Max Fried. So I imagine they're going to give him some other spots, most likely going to DH. So that's the plan. I thought he would actually come to the Arizona Fall League, which starts next week, which I'll be at, to get more playing time. But no, they're going to push it into the playoffs. I think he will probably strictly DH. I cannot imagine they're going to throw this young kid out, you know, catching a Jacob deGrom game or anything like that.
I can't either.
Be a DH bat. And Joe, I think that's what he's going to be. And we talked a lot about Alvarez through the year. It's just weird that, you know, we were talking about him coming up when you left, and we're talking about him the day you come back, that he's making his debut. So I know you haven't been locked.
There was an injury in between, wasn't there? Didn't he have an ankle or something?
There was like a hand injury. He was out for, that's why I thought he would go to the AFL. But, you know, he came back like a couple weeks ago. And similar to what the Rockies did with Ezekiel Tovar missed a ton of time, not a ton of experience. Instead of pushing him lightly, they just brought him right up to the majors. And that's what Alvarez is, because I really truly believe that Alvarez is going to break camp with the Mets next year. So they can put his bat in at DH and be a second catcher, and ABC would be for him to be viable for the extra award for guys finishing in the top three of rookie. You can get a first round pick if your guy wins rookie of the year, and you can get other compensatory picks if they finish in the top three. So the Mets are also going to be able to get themselves an extra pick with him being fully eligible next year. But to me, this is a sign he's breaking camp next year and is going to make him a very interesting fantasy guy.
No, 100%. I picked him up mid-year in my keeper league for a buck, and I'm going to hold him next year for the dollar escalator. I mean, it's not every day you get somebody who could be a top five offensive catcher. And I always say the same thing, which is catching is always harder. You got a situation where these guys have to learn the pitchers, learn what's going on, all that stuff. Offense sometimes gets to the wayside. But the nice thing is now in the National League, you have the DH spot, so you can get him in there. And maybe he ends up being a part-time catcher. Who knows? Because the bat's so good, maybe that's the way they want to handle it. We'll see what the offseason brings for them. But that's definitely somebody that I agree. He's going to be somebody next year that I do think is going to break camp with the team. I think if he can help them in the playoffs, they want him to help them in the playoffs. Like, they're in. Steve Cohen is in. They've gone all in. I commend them for having some of the discipline they had. But at the same time, I think they did miss out on some moves they could have made. I've been looking, too, in the last 30 days what I've missed. And you know what I also found that was really charming and fun? The first 30 days of this show, it felt like it was dominated by Stephen Kwan. You know, he hit 328 over the last 30 days. Yeah. How about that?
I think he ended up as like a top 50 player when you get into like algorithmic fantasy places like Yahoo, how they rank it. Yeah, no, 100%. It's a full circle. We started
full circle. Kwan,
we're ending back with Stephen Kwan doing all the counting stats. It really is fascinating. Speaking of stats, let's go through a couple stat heroes. And would you look at this, though? This is my favorite one from yesterday. Jared Kelnick with a double dong night. two for five, two homers, three RBI, three runs going into last night. Kelnick, in the month of September, already was rocking a 270 batting average, had only struck out in five times in eight games, I believe it was. Hit his third home run in, this is the ninth game here. Only little dodgy thing is everything he's doing is still off of fastballs. Both homers he hit last night, solid EV, over 100, great launch angle as he does, but both were fastballs. But we're getting this little tiny taste of Jared Kelnick before we go into the offseason, whether he's with a new team or not. There's going to be a little bit more biting back into Jared Kelnick, which is going to probably be a very fun conversation for us to have in the offseason, Joe, and will be very interesting how it comes out in the fantasy black book in the offseason.
I got to tell you, man, I see in the chat saying don't fall for Kelnick, and I understand. I mean, I don't care that he's hitting fastballs. I care that he's identifying fastballs and when they're coming in the count to him, if at all, and that's good. So I'm not going to like too freak out about that, because I think most of the, you know, most balls that guys are going to drive are going to be fastballs most of the time. Not everyone's a good off-speed pitch hitter. I wonder if Kelenic is this guy who just becomes more valuable to the Mariners this offseason than that potential that it does to some other team. I think a change of scenery would be fascinating. But it's also fascinating to look back and think about that trade, right? That trade got crushed when it was made. And think about what Edwin Diaz became this year and what Jared Kelenic has been. And I think if you're the Mets, even with that Cano salary you took on, you would make that deal every single day and twice on Sunday to go back there again.
I mean, how much would they love to redo that trade and just like do the opposite again? Like, can we get Edwin Diaz? I mean, they would love to pull that off, and you're just not going to be able to do it.
You know, and looking at the standings too of, you know, where everyone's finished, you know, Seattle's at 85 wins already. So they're going to obliterate that 82.5 win total that they had going into the season. I think it's fascinating to see here at the end of the year, the White Sox are still two games under 500 after all of this. They just couldn't figure it out. I think it's fascinating to see Cleveland at the top, because we always said Minnesota was a paper tiger and it wasn't going to last. Those were all things that were very good. But I think the most shocking thing just in the American League is that the Baltimore Orioles are going to be a 500 team this year. That to me is stunning. And looking back at it, when we thought, oh man, you know, that big ballpark factor, that change that they made, did you think it was going to have this much? It definitely has had an impact on these games where they've been a little bit more able to stay in these home games. There's no doubt about that. Do you think it was going to have such an impact potentially? Because at home, they are 10 games over 500 for the year. 10.
Yeah. I mean, the positive is like the development they've been putting towards their pitching. This is the fruits of their labor, like bringing in that wall, just a little bit extra space. They've seen a lot of success with the pitchers. I didn't expect them to be this good. And what's so great about it is what's coming. I mean, Adley Rutschman, I believe, had the second highest WAR in the second half of the baseball season. And he's going to go in the talk of the top three catchers we're going to be drafting in fantasy. He will be a top 100. I actually suspect he will be a top 75 overall pick. I think Adley, Varsho, and Romuto are going to be, you know, the three catchers that everyone's vying for inside the top 100. Gunnar Henderson has come up and looked fantastic, and they still have more guys coming. So it's a very bright, bright, bright future for the Orioles right now. And a few of the other lower teams in trying to, you know, change out the competitive balance. Just a few other little stat things, because I want to get, you know, through to the home run contest. We don't need to go through all of them. Haniger did have two homers. If you're talking about why Kelnick might be expendable, that's another one of those reasons. On the pitching side, Otani in that game went 8, struck out 10, did end up giving 2 hits. And he got it 7 2/3 before he gave up the hit, unfortunately, walked 1. Carlos Rodon, huge game, only gave up 2 hits, struck out 10. And Jeffrey Springs, who they're going to have a whole offseason conversation about how underrated I think he is, went 6, gave up 3 hits, 5 Ks, has not given up more than 2 runs in the month of September. It's actually 6 straight starts where he hasn't given up 2 runs or more. He's only given up 2 runs once this whole time. So he's been insanely impressive, and he will be in the offseason. Joe, you've been gone. The home run contest has...
Since you've been gone...
So close. This is a fun fact. Me and Sir Sizz, the only ones with a homer yesterday. I unfortunately didn't put the magic out that you and Mayer did with, you know, I mean, essentially you/Judge. I did cross the 40 homer marker, which I'm pretty happy about. That was kind of a big thing for me in learning it.
Where am I? I don't even know where. I mean, am I in top 10?
Unfortunately, we don't have any art. We haven't had art for a little bit here.
It happens.
Taking up all the resources. Yeah, we haven't had it for a bit. But you are top 10. The leader going into this weekend, and unfortunately, you know, leading off is done, so you guys are going to have to go into the Discord and find out the results and everything like that. Fantasy Pros probably share something like that. Cat Fox is in the lead at 56.
Oh, where'd that name even come from? I know that name.
It was just pop, 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 took it. Cat Fox is in the lead. Helpless in Miami and Elskel are both in second with 55, one homer away. High Cubbies at 54, and then you got a couple 50s lower, D-Blum and Go-Cards. Mike Mayer is eighth, and Joey is ninth, except you guys are tied. So you're both technically eighth. You both have 48 home runs going through.
Why is he ahead of me, though? That doesn't make any sense at all.
I mean, I think whoever put the leaderboard up here put Mike Mayer. I'm trying to actually get the logic. Why is he up there? I don't know.
There is no logic to it. That's just Mike Mayer pulling strings.
I think it's just because you put Judge in there.
Probably. Well, here's the other thing too. Looking back on the season now, and we're looking at it, I think it's so apparent, especially actually it's really in both leagues, but it's even more so, I feel like, in the National League, how stark it is between the really good teams and the really bad teams. You know, where, you know, you have the Mets and the Braves approaching 100 wins. You have the San Diego Padres. I'm looking at, you know, they haven't been exactly where they wanted to be necessarily, but they're 16 games over. The Phillies are still in this hunt. The Milwaukee's still in this hunt. But then after that, the Cubs are such a bad team. Colorado, Miami's going to lose 90 games. So they already did. The Cincinnati's going to lose maybe over 100. Pittsburgh's going to lose close to 100. Washington's going to lose 100. Losing 100 games is bad for baseball. And on the other side too, Detroit, Kansas City, and Oakland are all going to be 90-plus lost teams. That's bad for baseball. And I don't know when we're going to find more parity in the league, but there needs to be more parity in the league in the sense that we can't have this continue and baseball thinks it wants to expand again, which I know they've talked about, which is absurd.
I just can't even do the expand stuff. That is beyond me. If you keep expanding baseball, just talk about this with Bogman. If you keep expanding baseball, you're going to get to the point where you're literally not, you know how we had the figurative different leagues, AL, NL? You are literally going to have to break the league up. You can't have 38, 40 teams. You can't keep doing this. You can't expand to new markets unless you're just taking away from markets that are not doing their job and putting them in other spots. You know, I would also say, like, if you're petitioning for, like, well, this state doesn't have a team. Well, we also don't need three in one state. You know, and you're not going to change the tradition of the Chicago Cubs or the White Sox. We don't need two in Chicago. Like, I can't do expansion. I can't do all of that talk. It's too much, Joe. It's too much for, there's too many things baseball isn't doing correctly. That would just be another in the added list. We just need it to be better, not adding more. Like, we're gonna add an Omaha.
Well, I mean we've talked about it. They're never gonna do a salary cap. They already, CBA is now agreed on and all this stuff. They're, you know, it's just you're trying to find the incentive. They have all got these major TV contracts and these major deals and the money's flowing in there. But I continue to say the same thing, which I know everyone thinks I'm crazy, but the regular season is just too long nowadays for what, and I know it upsets a lot of purists, and I was once a baseball purist myself. And then I had my first beer, and then I realized that, you know, there's more to life than 162 baseball games at this point. We just need to do it better, in a better way. More playoffs, less regular season. I think that will spark some new life in baseball. Baseball should have the most life in August because it's the point in time when the sports calendar where there's just more opportunity and you have a lot of kids who are off and there's a lot of time to watch these games. And instead they're just dog day of August games that really don't mean all that much. And we're all just focused on September. That, I think, is a problem that they've still yet to address. And I hope that they do. I know they're never going to. I just hope at some point we get a little bit more parity, because if you've expanded the playoffs, you want to have more teams that are really viable for it. Instead, we have, once again, we've just gone down one more tick and we have, okay, now instead of these two teams fighting, now three teams are fighting, and then there's one other ancillary team. It should be six other ancillary teams. It should be hot as hell right now. We should all be thinking, oh my God, these, like, six teams could all make it. If this happens, it should feel like March Madness, but it doesn't, unfortunately. It feels like a foregone conclusion where we're just watching the Phillies or the Brewers punch it out here at the end.
I agree that that it should be shortened, but I would, you know, point you, as we in this part, I would point you to how baseball managed changing their baseballs and how fans have totally not freaked out over extending a couple inches to a base that they're adding. Baseball and fans on any change, they don't mix very well. So talk about taking games away. I think baseball.
And that's the thing. I'm not talking about taking games away. I'm talking about restructuring them. I want to restructure the games. Yeah. I want to make them more playoff oriented. I want to make 100-game regular season or 101 games, and then I want 61-game tournament to get to the end. And I think that would be super cool. And then run it in first week of October, but we can't because of the way they are already past that point. It can't ever be done. I'm living in a fantasy land. But I will say this. There's some wonderful things in baseball this year. The Aaron Judge home run thing has been amazing. Even from a Met fan perspective, I think it's been fun to see favorite teams like the Dodgers and Mets actually be favorite teams. I think it's been super fun to see Shohei Ohtani do what he's done. Julio Rodriguez. I mean, what were your other high points this year, Welsh, for the year in baseball? Julio was a big one for me, too. He's just so fun to watch.
Yeah, I think Julio was probably one of the biggest, me personally. But I think Bobby Witt it was criminally underrated and overshadowed by what Julio did. I mean, also from a fantasy perspective, we had a lot of changing of the guard. I think pitching expanded, catchers, I think, are kind of reformed. The DH brought new life into the value of having and owning catchers now. I mean, where in most worlds, like Sean Murphy wouldn't be someone you need to consider, or Alejandro Kirk or something like that. Those guys staying out and DHing gives more life. And Dalton Varsho has got that. I think there's a litany of highlights that we could take from it, and we can look back on from what I think has changed in fantasy that will be expanded upon in this next season and in the Fantasy Black Book, which I know is going to be in the works here. One other shout out we want to do, Joe, and I don't know if you have it handy, but you know, for
I always have it handy
loyalty purposes, yes, the king and the queens always go to BetMGM. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Screenshot. Yes, our friends at BetMGM have been with us all season long, and just want to give them a shout out. Whether you are rocking an incredible crown like that, or even just a tiny
that is incredibly dainty. That
it's the string bikini of tiaras. Unfortunately, this is from Cousin Donnie. Cousin Donnie.
I know he could have splurged a little bit, gotten you like a real size on. I mean, that's like.
It is. I told you, it's a string bikini of them, but they are beautiful. I'm gonna make some game used memorabilia from this, Joe.
Is it gonna be NFTs of Welsh in the tiara? Is that what we're doing?
Well, this is gonna be an NFT right here. But BetMGM all season long has been supporting Leading Off. You guys are using promo code Leading Off. You got hooked up with a couple different benefits. Most recently, the $1,000 risk free bet has been there for you. So Joe and I talked a lot about gambling at the top. You guys could go in. You could get in on it today. Use that promo code in your first bet, Leading Off. You'll get hooked up. BetMGM also does a fantastic job about all their freebies they give you. You can be a king, a queen, a prince, or a princess, whatever it is. Fantasy pros support you as we do. And, you know, maybe if I'm back next year, I can get a upgrade on a crown. Maybe we can.
I think that's got, we got to find budget for that. I also want to say, number one, the Welsh is the best. I want to thank the Welsh for not only, you know, coming on this year, doing the show with me. I know he's been dealing with a lot of stuff in the last year. He is not only a great friend, he's a great co-host. He's a great baseball person. He's a great human being. He also knows his whiskey, which I appreciate quite a bit. I want to thank everybody who's filled in too in the last month, because you've had, I know Casey Bubba, I know Wonky's done it. I know we had Andrew. Who else am I missing here? I'm missing
Clegg
as well. Everybody, just fantastic filling in there. I also want to thank everybody who has listened and watched this show, because you guys are make it fun. Like, that is why we're here every single day doing this show, because, and you guys are here at the end and there's still people watching it live on September 30th. That's absurd. Like, you guys are crazy. Personally, I love you. Thank you. It's amazing to be part of this little cult community here of people who still love baseball and still care about baseball. And you know what? I hope that you see this show as that platform too, because you've seen the ESPNs of the world get rid of baseball, and you've seen those downsize it everywhere. I'm trying to grow it here, Fantasy Pros. Welsh coming in was a huge part of that. I know last year Dan and I were doing this show, and everybody who stayed here, even on the first week, everybody didn't like Welsh. See, by the end, you did. I told you, he's like an acquired taste. You got to stick with it.
Fine wine.
And there's Dr. Glenn. See, we tolerate you too, and the peanuts and the Cracker Jacks. You're all the best. Like, seriously, it's great.
Yeah, and I just want to add thank you to everybody. I have no idea what my future holds here with Fantasy Pros. This is my last show, and I'm just out into the wilderness. Hopefully I'm back because I do love you all. I've enjoyed the show very much. As I've explained to multiple people, it's been weird this year because a lot of what I've done is I've felt like a substitute teacher where I've kind of been like, filling into what other people do. So there are some things that are maybe not as natural to how I would normally be, but hopefully in the future I can continue to bring my weirdness out into the fantasy baseball scape. And hopefully I can do it here because I really do. I like the community. I love the podcast. I like the people at Fantasy Pros. I desperately miss doing podcasts with you, Joe. So hopefully you guys tolerated, somewhat enjoyed, or maybe really enjoyed me here. But like I said, I don't know what it holds, but hopefully I will be seeing you all in the near future very, very much. So Joe, let's end this bad boy out with a home run call. You know, you haven't been here for a while. Let's get you home run calling anybody but Aaron Judge for the first
anybody time. But Aaron Judge. But here's this trap. Is May already have somebody in perpetuity?
No, I haven't. To be honest with you, I have not really seen Mayer's picks. I know he's probably making them. He has no perpetuity. I think he just comes in at some random time and does it.
Tonight, for one night only, Pete Alonso, and then I want Judge the rest of the weekend. I will make a home run call tonight. Give me Alonso and then Judge the rest of the time.
Okay. Julio's hurt. I mean, you know, here's the problem. It would have been hilarious if Byron Buxton was there because I could pick him, but the guy's been hurt all year. So it's like, I can't do anything with that.
Buxton.
But he's hurt. Give me Bryce Harper. I'll end out with Bryce Harper. He's got a good BVP.
I got to see. What did he end up doing? Like, I was trying to, like, where's the end of the Buxton?
28 homers, but I think he played like 38 games. So.
Let's see. How many games did he play? Don't even look. I'll ask you. How many games off the top of your head do you think he played?
I'm going to take a guess. I think it was like it's 92 or 110, somewhere in there. That's my range I'm taking. I know that's a wide.
Why can't I find the game? Oh, here we go. Games played. Here we go. 92 games played. Hey, 28 home runs, only six steals, but 20 home runs and a lovely .224 batting average there. Oh, Byron Buxton.
Oh, doubleheader for Harper. There you go. Go Cards. Oh, always honest about the doubleheaders. Can never get away with anything. All right, then I will change mine.
At the end, this group keeps you honest. I love this group. Really keep
that. You know who I'm gonna pick tonight? Aaron Judge. I get Aaron Judge.
There you go.
Yay. Pete Alonso. So that's it. All right, guys. Awesome to have Joe back. I'm glad, Joe, you've been busy as hell. You got a lot of stuff going outside of podcasts and inside of podcasts that's going down. So I'm glad that you were able to shake out a little time, especially on the last one of the season here. So you're a great friend. You're an awesome host, a great fantasy guy, and hopefully we're doing more in the near future. Joey, I'll let you send us out.
That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on for the Welsh and all the peanuts and the Cracker Jacks. I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids. Later.